Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of You Can Relate. I am your host as always, Slick Schultz, and I needed to start this episode using my current equipment because with the new year, it's time to start with new equipment. I have decided to treat myself for the new year and upgrade my audio equipment, specifically my microphone. Now, happy new year to everyone. Hope everyone had a fantastic holiday. Sorry I didn't have any Christmas episodes come out. I could have prepped a little bit better, but you know me, I get lazy. If I'm not on a regular track record, I get lazy. Not to mention the fact that I actually got to go visit my parents and my siblings for Christmas. I actually got to be home for Christmas, being that I work from home now. I have transported all my stuff, and what was even more funny is that I ended up only working one day while I was there. For 2 weeks, worked one day. Was supposed to work another day, but I had to call in sick because I was having some issues with the temperature change in my health, and it sucked, but it was all fine. That being said, I don't want to get into too much detail because I want everyone to hear what it sounds like, a difference that it makes, potentially, with the current equipment I'm using. If for those of you who don't know, I have been rocking an Audio-Technica AT2020 microphone for the longest time. I've been using that for the podcast, I've been using that for when I game, I've been using that for when I do voiceover auditions. However, you know, it's no secret out there, but the best of the best use a particular microphone. They use the Shure SM7B. Sorry, I had to look up the model number. I don't even remember it, but they use that microphone. I mean, fucking Joe Rogan uses that microphone, so there has to be something good about that microphone if everyone's using it. So, I treated myself, purchased it, and this will be the first recording with it for this podcast to see if I need to get the Cloudlifter. Now, everyone's been saying that with this particular microphone, you need to get the Cloudlifter because apparently the microphone is very, very gain-heavy. But I don't know how everyone else has had that set up, if it indeed needs to be used. So I'm going to test it with the rest of this podcast in my system and see what happens. If I do indeed need the Cloudlifter, I'll end up buying it. But I just wanted to see what it would look like. So this will conclude part one, I guess, of this episode being recorded on the Audio-Technica AT2020. And we will go into the Shure SM7B. All right, we'll see you over there. Here we are with the new microphone, the Shure SM7B, probably the most famous microphone on the market right now for its different audio belovedness. One, you know, being that this is a very gain-heavy microphone. The microphone, yeah, just as it says. If you don't know what gain essentially is what it's pulling in, like what it really wants to pick up for sound. And for this microphone, you either have to crank the gain, which can make your, you know, audio sound hissy and too out of tune, or you can get yourself a SoundCloud of some sort, which I did. I got a cloud amplifier, which amplifies the pull, so you don't have to crank your gain as much, which makes your, you know, voice come through better without having to have the distortion. So that's what I have now on the setup, SM7B with a Cloudlifter for that. And yeah, so hopefully this will be good for moving forward. I don't know if it's going to sound that much different than what the Audio-Technica AT2020 was pulling, but I felt like treating myself anyway. I know it's been a long time with you guys. I do want to apologize again for not putting out content all the time. Yeah, it's still also not going in the structure that I had, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm lazy when it comes to doing this. I'm not on a schedule when I'm come to doing this. I'm not getting you guys guests when it comes to doing this. I'm just yakking on the microphone to you, the one or two listeners that actually listen to this show, that actually keep up with it, that actually like hearing me yak and complain and whatever. So for those of you that do, I apologize, but it is what it is. I'm lazy. I'm still lazy also when it comes to trying to get a new job. I am getting really sick and tired of retail, at least in the retail market that I'm in. I'm actually working on getting my real estate license right now. I'm going through Barney Fletcher right now, and yeah, it's hard. It's a lot of stuff that, you know, you'd think that, like, I was talking to my supervisor, who's now getting into getting his because I kept talking about it, and I mentioned to him that, you know, when I've seen people show houses before, I've been with real estate agents when my roommates were looking for a house and stuff, and I don't recall them ever talking about any of this stuff that we're learning. And he goes, yeah, when I bought my house to my wife, they never mentioned any of this stuff. And then I come to find out that majority of the stuff you're learning, you're barely going to use in your day-to-day. Like, yeah, it's almost like, think about a doctor. You know, you go to school for 7 years or so and you do your practice, but even though you learn anatomy, doesn't mean you're going to be a surgeon. Just because you learn about brain functions doesn't mean you're going to be, you know, a brain surgeon. You may be a pediatrician. So it's just, it's this stuff that you got to learn, but you're never going to use it again, but you still have to have a mentioning of it, I guess. So I'm working on it. I'm going a little slower than I should. I should have been done by now, to be honest, if I was following the actual plan through Barney Fletcher, but I did it at my own pace. I am on the last quiz of section number 4 out of 5 when it comes to the preemptive stuff. Then I have to start going through the actual state of Georgia stuff. Then when I'm done with all that, I have to take the actual final exam, which I cannot score lower than a 75%. Otherwise, I have to take it again, which I believe it's 120 questions. So wish me luck on that one. I will try to keep getting you guys content, but, you know, I'm lazy. That's how it is. But anyway, so let's talk about, you know, what's going on right now. And what's going on is we just had the Oscars the other night. And there's a couple of topics that I really want to talk about that happened with it. One, I want to make sure I get names correctly. But let's keep going on. You know, like, so one big thing I wanted to talk about at the Oscars, which they actually made fun of, Jimmy Kimmel hosted again, if you didn't see it. I think he always does a fantastic job. He makes light of subjects. Obviously, bringing up the whole Will Smith slapping incident of last year definitely was on there. But one thing that people noticed was that Tom Cruise and James Cameron were nowhere to be found. And it was odd to a lot of people because these two have really been pushing to get the theater experience back, to really bring back Hollywood in what it used to be before the pandemic, you know, and being huge advocates of it, it just seemed weird that they weren't at the Oscars. Now, Tom Cruise apparently is still working on the second part of his more recent Mission Impossible movie, which is why he wasn't there. James Cameron, I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he's still working on Avatar 3, 4, 5. Who knows? But it did just seem weird that, you know, we're here to celebrate movies and cinema and the movie experience and the actors in it and the writers in it and the directors in it. And these two guys that are pushing so hard for it aren't there. Especially with Tom Cruise when he had several nominations for Top Gun, Maverick. Best original or best picture, I believe, was nominated. It was nominated for editing. I know it won for best original song, and I believe it won for something else, but I can't remember what. I know James Cameron also had a thing for Avatar: Way of Water, which won best visual effects. Go figure. Like, we didn't see that coming. But yeah, it just seemed a little weird that they weren't there. But I get it. Maybe they're busy. Maybe they are doing something. So it's not a huge issue. And speaking of being, you know, this topic of wondering where they are and wondering what this and that, I think we've gotten to a point now where we start to read too much into things happening. Mainly, I do want to talk about potentially this stuff going on with Angela Bassett. I don't know if any of you were keeping up with it, and if you're not, I'll fill you in. Angela Bassett was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for her role as Queen. I don't remember the character's name. I think it's Ramonda. I could be way wrong on that one. For Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And she did a fantastic job. Listen, all the actresses that got nominated for Best Supporting Actress deserve to be up there. Not one of them that was actually nominated didn't deserve to be there. Like, you know, sometimes during the Oscars or things, you're like, yeah, that person didn't do a very good job. No, all of these actresses got up there and nominated for a right reason. The big controversy that everyone seems to be having now is that when Jamie Lee Curtis, who won and was announced, everyone was looking at Angela Bassett's face and how disappointed she looked. And some people are stipulating or saying, you know, whatever. The reason why she looked upset is because they weren't going to allow a woman of color to win that category or from the MCU, which I don't believe. There may be strong evidence out there that might be correct. I do know that the Oscars sometimes can be political. They can be swaying one way or the other, which we'll get into here in a little bit. I don't think that was the case. I think sometimes we have a tendency to read too much into stuff that's really not there. We're picking apart things that we see or hear and thinking that it's one way when it's really not that way. Maybe Angela Bassett was just upset because she really wanted to win. And I get that. If I was in the crowd and I got nominated, I'm like, I think I got this, and I don't get it. Of course I'm going to be upset that I didn't get it. You know, am I going to be happy for the other people that win it, like my peers? Absolutely. You know, but I'm not going to look at it like this is ridiculous, political, I should have won, blah, 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 and be hated on it. No, I think Angela Bassett just had that reaction because she wanted it. She really wanted it. Did Jamie Lee Curtis deserve to win? Well, like I said, they all deserve to be up there. I think she did a fantastic job in Everywhere, Everywhere, All at Once. Now, me personally, I think the winner should have been the other co-star in Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, Stephanie Hsu. I think Stephanie Hsu turned in a phenomenal performance in that movie. I think she should have won it. That's my personal opinion. I think Angela Bassett did a phenomenal job in Black Panther Wakanda Forever. She, like I said, everyone deserved to be nominated. But again, I think maybe we're reading a little bit too much into things happening. Like, Tom Cruise and James Cameron didn't show up to the Oscars. They must hate it. They must be making a stance. Or maybe they're just busy. Oh, Angela Bassett's upset because they're not going to let a woman of color in the MCU win an Oscar. Or maybe she just got outvoted. Or she's just upset that she didn't win. I don't know. I don't know the truth. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think it was just a matter of all of you were fantastic and it was hard to pick. I don't think there's anything else that we need to read into this. But some people are. They're saying she's mad because, again, woman of color, MCU is never going to win an Oscar. First of all, pretty sure she was the first to be nominated for an Oscar in the MCU, let alone a black woman in MCU. I'm pretty sure that was the first. I could be wrong. Someone fact checked me on that one. But the fact that she was nominated was fantastic out of an MCU movie. Now, Wakanda Forever did win for Best Costume Design, which is not a shocker there because Black Panther, the first one, won for Best Costuming because it's fucking awesome. But again, I just think that sometimes with the media that we have, whether it be podcasts or Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, I think we just read too much into this stuff. I haven't seen a single interview with Angela Bassett yet that explains the reason why she was upset, why she looked upset that she didn't win. But I would not be shocked if she just said, I really wanted to win. I really did. And yes, at that moment, I was like, shit, fuck. But then I was happy for my co-workers, you know, like my peers. So maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But let's get into the other part that I mentioned that, you know, maybe there is a narrative that the Oscars is doing. Let's just look at the other winners, okay? There, sometimes in a storytelling, you want to lean one way, and maybe the Oscars were leaning to comeback stories, right? Maybe they were thinking, let's give all the Oscar wins to these people to showcase a comeback story because everyone loves it. I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis played into that too because I don't believe she's ever won an Oscar. Actually, in fact, I know she'd never won an Oscar. I'm looking at it right now. Accepted of her actress in a supporting role at 95th, Jamie Lee Curtis has won her first Oscar. She's been nominated before. It says, going a step further than her movie star parents who were both nominated for... Okay, maybe she wasn't nominated before, but that was her first Oscar win, right? But again, comeback story. She's never won an Oscar, so she won an Oscar. Kei Hui Kwan won Best Supporting Actor for Everything Everywhere All at Once. What a comeback story that is. If you don't know who that is, wake up. Kei Hui Kwan is Data from The Goonies. Maybe a lot of you have never seen The Goonies, and if you haven't, you're missing out. Go watch The Goonies. He's also Short Round in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and he disappeared for the longest time. And a lot of people don't know he was also in Encino Man with Brendan Fraser. But we didn't see him. He was doing, I believe he was producing, he might have been directing, he was doing fight choreography at some point too. Or coordinating, but he was gone. And when he won, everyone felt for this guy. I mean, shit, I was crying when he gave his acceptance speech. Because it's beautiful. Kid actor disappears, comes back, and wins Best Supporting Actor. It's fantastic. And keeping up with that, let's look at Brendan Fraser himself. The guy was red hot for a while. Like, he was doing the Mummy movies, and he was doing George of the Jungle. He did some things that were not so good, like Dudley Do-Right and the Looney Tunes Back in Action movie and Journey to the Center of the Earth. Like, some of them weren't very good, but again, he disappeared. And he started getting his comeback in Doom Patrol. Fantastic as Robot Man. And then all of a sudden, he goes on to star in this movie, The Whale, by David Aronofsky. Was it David? Yeah, I think so. If I'm wrong, whatever. Aronofsky. Fantastic performance. Again, all these actors that got nominated deserve to be there. But Brendan Fraser won. So we have another comeback story. Michelle Yeoh winning Best Actress for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Right? And she even said in her acceptance speech, don't ever let anyone tell you you're past your prime. Everything Everywhere All at Once was kicking everyone's ass at the Oscars. Nominated for 11, won 7. Best Directing, Best Original Screenplay, Best Picture, Best Supporting Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Actress. They dominated. So again, maybe it is a comeback story. Maybe that's why Angela Bassett didn't win. Because the Oscars feel it'd be better to play it all into this. Or maybe people are just reading too much into it. I don't know. What are your thoughts? I think it's just a coincidence. But God damn it, I love Brendan Fraser. I've never hated that man. I am so happy for him to be getting when he gets back. If you don't know his backstory, what happened to him and why he disappeared? Fuck. Look it up. That man's been through some shit. Kei Hui Kwan, like, yeah, he's been through some shit too, but it was nowhere on the level that Brendan Fraser had to go through. Brendan Fraser had a fucking nightmare and was able to come back through this, digging through the shit and his back, and I fucking love him for that. I fucking love all these winners, right? I love acting. I love the fact that these people can step out of their own shit and entertain us, whether that's making us laugh, making us hate them, making us cry. That's why I want to be an actor. I love to fucking entertain. If I get you to hate me on screen, I've done my job. If you love me and want to see me more stuff, I have done my job. I just want to bring entertainment to everyone. Do I need to get nominated for an Oscar in the future? No, I don't. I could care less about that, to be honest. Yes, it's a great honor, absolutely, that your peers and your the institute or whatever it is you want to call it, the academy, wants you to win and they vote you to win. Great. I'm all for it. Do I need one on my shelf? No. I just want to get steady work entertaining people. TV show for several seasons. Movies every few years. I don't care. I'd even love to do theater. But I need to be able to make a living. Like, until I get a big break that actually pays me enough that I can focus on those things, for me, it's not going to happen. For me, it's still, I'm stuck here at fucking retail. And, you know, that's why I'm trying to get out, because honestly, I'm not making enough money. And I know that's it's a fucking weird thing to say in this day and age, like, you know, whatever. But my supervisor, again, said best to me. He's like, you know, in order to make more money, you're going to have to move on. As mean as that might sound, it's the truth. In order to make more money, you have to leave your fucking current job. They're never going to bump you up. The only way you can ever make more money is to change positions. Whether that's going from, you know, a part-timer to a full-timer to a supervisor to a manager to a GM to fucking executive, whatever. Like, you have to move up. And right now, I'm just a full-timer. Yes, I switched positions from what I used to be in the store, and so it is technically corporate and a higher-paying job, but at the same time, it's like, I need to get out. I need to get out because I'm not going to make any more money. Do I need to make millions of dollars? No. Do I want to make more than $33,000 a year, which is pretty much all I make? Yes. $50,000 would be nice. That's comfortable for me. And it's going to be a little bit easier for me to live now because I just paid off my car, knock on wood. But congratulations to me. Yay, 2017, bought my new Mazda, and it just now is paid off. So no longer have to worry about that payment. That can go towards getting rid of my debt for credit cards. You know, and I got another job. Personal job. You don't need to know about that. That I'm excited about starting. It's going to be tough, but hey, I'm excited for the benefits of that. But yeah, I really need to get out of retail. I need to get out of retail. I need to get into something that's a little bit more flexible and more to my skill sets. Like, even my supervisor's told me when he's listened to some of my calls, I just have a way with people. I like having fun with people. And I think my skills are being able to talk to people and be up bright and fucking energetic like I am would be fantastic for real estate. I think it'd be great. And my mom, my sister, and my roommate, they've told me you'd be great at real estate. And that's why I'm doing it, because not only is it going to be a higher paid job, but it's going to be more fulfilling to actually help people get what I believe is now the new American dream, owning a house. I don't own my own house. Shit, it's my birthday in a few days. I'm going to be old, and I still don't have my own house. And does that make me kind of feel shitty? Yes. It makes me feel less of a man, less of an adult. That I can't do that. But this job of getting the satisfaction of helping other people achieve that, and then eventually me being able to achieve it, is fantastic. And again, having more of the freedom to do acting. I have freedom right now to do it, don't get me wrong. But I think this would give me a little bit more. And so that's what's going on, guys. You know, again, the Oscars, fantastic. I think they did a great job. They were up from last year for viewings, which is shocking. I don't know if it was maybe people tuning in. Again, reading too much into something. Here we go. Was it people tuning in to see if another fucking slapfest was going to happen? Is that what boosted the actual views? Or was it just a better show this time? You know, who knows what it was? I still think, though, that they need to introduce best stunts. I'm biased. My brother is a stunt actor. But god damn it, they deserve a fucking Oscar. No different than best costume design. Yeah, can't have a movie without fucking costumes. Best makeup. Yeah, can't have a movie without makeup. But guess what? You can't have your fucking action films or even anything that looks remotely dangerous for an actor without stunts. Best stunt coordination. Best stunts. Best whatever you want to call it. They fucking deserve an Oscar. All right. That's all I'm going to say. Otherwise, I'll try to keep you guys updated. I hope you're liking the new sound out of the new microphone. I'm loving it. I don't know if it sounds any different to you guys, but hey. Just got to say, love you guys. I'll try to do better. And until next time, take care.